When you hear the word corrupt in English, because of our, when one hears the word corrupt, we think of somebody that is taking bribes or a corrupt politician. And so the word, when it talks about corrupt in the New Testament over and over again, this is what we talked about last night, but I want to get into a little deeper. We apply the same thought process of what we normally use the word. And so, you know, it's the same as taking the name of the Lord in vain. If you cuss, if you say God damn, then you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. And if you talk about corrupt politicians or corrupt, you know, criminal gangs or something. But that's not what this word means. It's in the New Testament, and it's got to enter into your consciousness with a searing something to burn away. So every time you see the word corrupt or corrupted or corrupting in the New Testament, you understand what it means. The normal meaning of the word is that which is subject to decay or rot or rust or age or oxidizing or fire. It's anything that can go down the hill. And it goes down the hill faster and faster and faster, depending on the word. So let's first look at a couple of them. Let's go to Matthew 6.
You said that was the normal meaning of the word, right?
No, it's a normal meaning. Every time it is in the New Testament, every time you see the word corrupt, with one exception, it means that. Right.
Okay.
Did anybody have any thoughts about what we talked about last night? Anybody remember? Good. All right, Matthew 6, verse 19. This is one that's obvious. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves steal and break through, but lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Okay, so that's kind of an obvious thing, right?
But it's also an important thing, because it says anything that's on earth is corrupt.
That's right. Now think of, again, remember, it's corrupt because by definition everything on earth is dust. That's the best it can end up being. And then we go into that. Now just think of all of the things that you've got sustenance and satisfaction from in your life. And it all turned to dust.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at another one. Let's go to Matthew 7. Once there's the same, it's just right there. Beware of, verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now, this is the word sapros, and it just means something that's rotten or worthless. Now, as we talked about last night, the Trinity Broadcasting System, after the article that came out yesterday, their defense is going to be, don't judge us by anything other than the fruit. And there, to them, the fruit are converts. Well, that's crazy. The fruit are never converts. The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc., etc., etc. Mercy, temperance, the nine fruit of the Spirit, which is the personality of Christ. So the corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. What is the fruit? Anything can bring forth, you can have, You can. That's why it's so important. You understand that the fruit is singular. It's the fruit of the Spirit is this personality that is described as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, the nine fruit. And that's what must be brought forth. Otherwise, that is not a good tree. You got it? All right. Let's go to Luke 6.
I'm just thinking about this corruption. I mean, the source of the fruit is brought through a corrupt organization, putting on a false front, and then people buying their lie.
Yeah.
And that's their fruit. People who have bought their lie, and now they're calling that the fruit.
And that's why everything has to, with their organizations, have to be hidden. That's what, we didn't know anything about all this when we first started. But now we found out that, who is on the board of directors of Trinity?
Rick Brown, his false sister.
Paul and Jan.
Jan, Paul and Jan, yeah.
There's three people. Paul's sister. And so they have a $2 billion organization.
Terrence Hickey, too, which I think he's.
Anyway. It's just this handful of people. There's no vulnerability. People can give $100,000 and not know what's going on. There's no accountability. Now that's why, since we are evil by nature, the human race, that is why we need accountability. We need vulnerability. That has to be the essence of an organization that's operating in the name of Christ. All right, let's not go to Luke. I changed my mind. Go to Ephesians 4. We'll never get done if we go to Luke. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Well, let's look at verse 29 first. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What is corrupt communication? That's kind of important. What he's saying is be so operating in the fear of God that there is nothing that comes out of your mouth that isn't that which is timeless. Let your conversation, let your manner of life be seasoned with salt. And that's what Paul meant. Down here in a few verses, it says it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done in the darkness. That's not talking about what you do in your bed at night. It's talking about the darkness of the kingdom of darkness of this world. Now, so let no corrupt communication. Do you understand that? Does everybody understand what that means?
They speak of the world.
They speak of the world, and the world heareth them. To speak of anything that is corrupt, and what is corrupt? That which is subject to decay. Tell me something that of which is not subject to decay. Now, on the other hand, you can talk about everything. You can talk about nature. You can talk about anything. If you see in it, and that's what we are called to do, is to see in it the mystery. See in it the finishness.
I think that's why the word season the salt. Because you can talk about anything, but if you, in the talking, if it's turned to see the eternal of it, then whatever you're talking about is...
Or the lack of eternal of it.
Or the lack, right. So you can either repent or rejoice or whatever. But it's not to circumcise yourself and don't ever talk again. It's
no.
See eternally.
You said something a couple years ago about what man does is he takes the spiritual and makes it commonplace. And our job is to take the commonplace and
make it
spiritual. Right? The world is neither good nor bad. It is. It's just what
Okay, now go back seven verses to verse 422, and we'll see another word for corrupt. And this is, it just emphasizes, in in let's go to 18. Having the understanding, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, the emptiness, the fruitlessness. I just lost my place.
18.
Oh, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The veil of the flesh is still over, so every place you look, you know, it's still, you don't see. Now, watch. Who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to walk all uncleanliness with greediness. Now, what is lasciviousness? It just means wanting more than you have. Uncleanliness, greediness, it's the nature of the beast. It's not talking about some bad people. It's you. It's me. It's our minds. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off divorce forever. Not a friendly divorce. There's no such thing. This is a divorce forever that you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life of the old man. And the conversation, here, this thing, the conversation in this word, it means your thought process, your speech pattern, your manner of life. You've put off, you've divorced yourself from the old man. Who is the old man? It's you. And put on the new man, which is Christ. Now watch. And that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Deceitful lust again. Lust, wanting more than you have. And it goes to lasciviousness, to concupiscence, and it goes from thinking about wanting a bicycle to really wanting a bicycle to must have a bicycle. From lust to lasciviousness to concupiscence. Or whatever it is. Completing your agenda, being late a few days, and must complete it or the world's going to come to an end.
Amen.
That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt. And that word corrupt there is this word that I can't pronounce. It's P-H-T-E-I-R-O. Stereo. Okay, it means either pining for the fjords, it spoil or ruin or shrivel, that which is subject to all those, or withers or shrivels. But morally, it means that which is depraved. So what is that which depraves? If you believe the Bible, it's wanting more than you have. So you put off. And now, what? Remember that word, stereo, because we're going to see two different, we're going to see it expand here. Okay, now we're going to look at some more stereos. Go to 1 Corinthians 15:33. Is this interesting to anybody?
Yeah, I'm thinking this putting off and that whole thing takes place by
abandonment.
By abandonment, by getting rid of, not by clothing yourself in the righteousness of Christ, as you conceive it.
No, that just makes you a menstrual rag.
Yeah, but it's the opening of yourself.
You
could have
1 Corinthians 15.
Be not, this is just, this is, wait a minute, verse 15:32. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead raise not, let us eat and drink, and let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. In other words, what difference does it make what he has gone through? He was shipwrecked. He was beaten with rods. If the dead are not raised, then it's let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Now here we go. Verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good ethos. It says manners, but it's ethos. Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you speak determines. It's not what you believe, you say you believe, that defines you. It's what's in the heart. And so this is that if you talk about those things which spoil, pine away, are subject to ruin and shrivel and wither and subject to that which is depravity, then that's what you will be. That's what that means. Corrupt communications, excuse me, evil communication. Evil is porneos. It just means of the evil one. Communications of the evil one corrupt good manners, our good ethos, the manner of life. Now, it's no different than saying that Esau sold his birthright because he was hungry. That was his corrupt communication. Do you understand? If you spend your life in a dream state searching for something that you have created in your mind, then that is corrupt. I mean, that is evil communication which corrupt the lifestyle. That's why if you hear this, if you can hear one time that there is no thought that you can have that has any merit, then you will automatically begin to bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ and be in a readiness to revenge the disobedience when it doesn't happen. This idiocy of living in your mind, what you can conceive, you can achieve. Well, so what? It's all depraved, empty, and vain, and it's going to rot. So that's what that means. You got it? Okay, let's look at a couple more. Jude 10, your favorite book. Right before Revelation. We're just going to read the one verse, because we've already studied this in great detail. Verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but that which they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. They make themselves subject to this decay and depravity and spoiling and pining away. Well, all men do that. Well, that's why all men had to die. One more place for this word. Revelation 19. Revelation 17 and 18 are the description of Babylon, then the destruction of Babylon, and now Revelation 19 is the rejoicing because Babylon is destroyed. But it has to happen in you. Judgment must first begin at the house of God before it can happen in the earth. Okay? Now watch. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. The earth is corrupted because the whore of Babylon is sitting on the seven mountains of every man's mind, and causing all these issues of cause and effect and these habit patterns and everything that and she is sitting there. Now, can you see that she is destroyed? Can you see that all communication, all manner of things are gone? There is no such thing as a good idea.
You know, it's like, to me, I hear the choice here. You can spend your life fighting those seven mountains or whatever, trying to become better at this and that. Or you can see that it's finished and it wipes the whole program out.
Right, but those seven mountains are what's going to destroy the whore, because she always fails her. See, that's the mystery. He made us subject to vanity, not willingly, but reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. So she's up there manipulating this, the high place identities, the seven mountains in your head, and but they can never bring anything that doesn't corrupt. So then eventually they destroy the whore. I hope you understand that. Okay, now, let's look at 1 Timothy 6:8. 6:5, I mean. And then there's a couple, and then we got one more to look at. Is it really hot in here, or am I just on fire?
It's hot in certain parts. Wow.
It's talking about if any man teach otherwise. About in 1 Timothy 6. Let me just read it real quick. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, or as many workers count their own employees or bosses, or, you know, it's masters and servants is now just bosses and workers, or count their own masters worthy of all honor, that they name, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that are believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil perverse, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Now, he uses that word I can't pronounce, phthario, but it's got the predic- I mean the thing in front of it, kata. It means utterly depraved, utterly spoiled. It's the totality of it. All right, now let's look at the one exception of the meaning of corrupt, and that is in 2 Corinthians 2. Start in verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. The word corrupt there is kateluo, and it means to adulterate or dilute for the purposes of commerce. And it was a technical word used of the making of wine, that they added water to the wine in order to make more wine. So we to adulterate the word of God is to say anything that is man-pleasing. To corrupt the word of God is to tell you anything that you want to hear, that this mind wants to hear, the corrupt mind. Now, do you have a better understanding of corrupt? Do you see its connection with what the word vanity is? Empty, worthless, fruitless, without purpose. You know, take the name of the Lord in vain. You don't have corrupt communications. You worship and see only truth. Truth is that which doesn't change, because it comes from an incorruptible seed. The seed of Christ. And that's the only thing that's not corruptible. The promises of God go not to the seeds as of many, but to the one seed, which is Christ. And how in the world the word seed, which is sperma, became money for purposes of corrupting the word of God is beyond me. Anyway. Seed is that plant your seed in the hot soil. The seed is money. You give money. That's what...
So add, don't
his people to go and spread the gospel around the world.
As if they needed, God needed their help. But it's important that you see the connection between what vanity is, that we're all subject to vanity, that what corrupt is, that it's that which decays, that which rots, or oxidizes with time, versus what truth is, what Christ is, what the incorruptible seed is, and begin giving importance only to that which doesn't change with time.
That incorruptible seed is the place of our residence. That's our place of rest. That's where we go when we're...
No, the incorruptible seed is Christ.
That's what I just said.
But you can't go there to rest. He is your life because you are dead. You have to... It's His manifestation of life. You and any illusion that you are going somewhere will cause corruption to occur. You must see that this thing is an illusion. It's something that's been invented to keep you from the mercy seat, where your permanent home is. If I think that I'm going to go somewhere to rest, even spiritually, then I have given life to the old man.
Well, if you take the old man with you and you go down the cross, that's true. That's not really what I'm saying.
Christ is already seated on the high, on the heavenlies. You know, we don't go anywhere. That's where we are. All right. Anybody else?
I don't know why, but this puts me in mind of the image of the seed lying still on the floor in the
John Song.
Yeah, John Song and the God. Who is it? Boaz. And the seed just lying there, as opposed to the leaven thing of being blown up and puffed up. It's like stuff in time and space is really just kind of blown up, and it's like,
you can imagine little seeds running around with legs,
as opposed to just being at rest,
or sperm cells. It's just sperm cells running around with legs.
Thanks for that image.
See, everybody gets mad at me because I call the human race sperm cells. God called them worse, locusts, grasshoppers. Grass. At least, and me calling them sperm cells, it gives them the chance for life. They die.
You know, I was thinking that people don't encounter death like, and it's really like to see an actual corrupt dead body that's actually decomposed, or, you know, like your little trips to the
banana field trips.
Yeah, field trip to see the cow, you know, and stuff. Yeah. I mean, in a lot of cultures, you see that all the time. You know, it's just all around you all the time. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, if you've got enough money in your society to make it where you don't have to look at that, then you can continue then the illusion that things aren't really corrupt. Things are, you know, you just sort of, you know, put the body in the ground later with nobody looking, and that whole part of the burial.
Yeah, what's so sad to me is Gene's death, and there was no notice in the paper. There was no facing of what that meant. And the idea of, that's expected of this beast, because it has to hide. That's what all ideas are, is to flee from the revelation of Christ, which includes your death. To try to have comfort, to until you finally see the fullness of the cross, that you are dead. Your life is already hid with Christ. And then you don't seek rest, you are rest. Does anybody have a better understanding of what the word corrupt means? Even our understanding of what it means is corrupt. There's no wiggle room.
This is like something that never goes away. This is everywhere you look and turn, every thought.
An R. Yeah.
Yeah, what you are is.
That's why truth is the repentance is constant. You can never be right. Amen? Take a big guy.